السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. أبا يوسف، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
طيب، I think we can start the class.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، بإذن الله، today we shall continue our book الأدب المفرد by الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله. الأدب المفرد is a book specifically compiled to explain and make clear to the Muslim what are the ways of life. How do you live your life? How do you relate with people? How do you live your life as an individual in the way and manner that Allah is pleased with? And how do you live with the rest of the people? How do you relate with your parents? How do we relate with our relatives? How do we relate with our neighbors? How do we relate with women who are widows? How do we relate with orphans and the rest of the class of people that we have mentioned so far? This far, we are on narrations regarding our servants, our subordinates, and our slaves. And if we observe the next few hadiths that we shall read today, inshallah, will be still about the slaves. And bismillah, once we have about a few chapters, we shall be coming to the matters regarding the man as a leader and as a caregiver and manager in his home. But today, bismillah, our discussion will still come around matters regarding our slaves, matters regarding our servants, and the matters regarding our subordinates. I had mentioned in the previous class that we might have wondered why these ahadith, why is it that the discussions regarding the slaves are much, regarding the servants, regarding our subordinates? Why is it that there are a lot of discussions about them? We can recognize two quick reasons. The first reason is that this is an issue many of the people we take with levity. When we relate with our servants, when we relate with our slaves, we take a lot of things for granted. When we give people jobs to do, the fact that we have given them jobs to do is the reason for us, perhaps our minds, our attention will not be sufficient enough regarding these class of people. We might not think we have to be careful about them. So the narrations have been so profusely mentioned by way of making us understand that this is something not to forget about. This is something not to forget about. This is something not to forget about. The other side of the coin, which can form another reason why there are a lot of reports about the issues of slaves and our servants and our subordinates, is that they themselves should understand that Allah has protected their rights. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has also protected their rights. The slaves, the servants, and the subordinates. If Allah has made you a subordinate with a person, He could have made you a servant. He could have made you a controller, the supervisor, the one who administers the affairs of others. But He chooses subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are a servant, or that you are a person who provides service to the people. you should understand that Allah has protected your rights. Islam has protected your rights. So two ways to why most of these reports have been mentioned. One is that it should be a regular reminder for all of us, so that something regarding which we may easily forget and sleep and make mistakes, we are kept reminded at all times. The second thing about that is that even the slaves and the servants and the subordinates themselves will understand that Islam has protected their rights. The slaves should understand, the servants should understand, the worker should understand, the employed individual with a company, with an individual, should understand that Allah has protected his rights. So it is regularly mentioned in the books of Hadith. The second thing is that usually those who are not in that class, the bosses, the supervisors, the administrators, the directors, the governors, the heads, they usually perhaps may not think that the responsibility on their shoulders are so huge. So when the reports are regularly mentioned, I'm sure it would have come in the minds of each and every one of us that so servants have so much place in Islam. Why? Reports regarding their rights have been repeated in the books of Hadith. So these are two major things I think we need to think about as we read these narrations about our slaves, our servants, and the rest of our subordinates. Today, bismillah, our reading will be from Hadith number 198. Our first reading today will be from Hadith number 198 in the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And its title is Babun Iza Kariha An Ya'kula Ma'a Abdihi. Babun إذا كره أن يأكل مع عبده. The chapter regarding when an individual dislikes, when he feels uncomfortable, أن يأكل مع عبده, when he feels uncomfortable to eat with his slave. The individual may become uncomfortable to sit on the table or to sit on a mat and eat with his servant or his subordinate. When this happens, what should that supervisor, that head, that employer of labor, what will he do? Many times, our servants, when we eat, we don't eat with them. If I'm not making a mistake, it's almost a basic rule among some of the people. They don't eat together with their slaves or their servants or their subordinates. They are away, they are far away from them. So when it happens that the individual feels uncomfortable to eat with his slave or with his servant, what should he do? What does the religion Islam, what does it encourage this individual to do? Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has placed the narration regarding this under Hadith number 198, and in it he said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال أخبرنا مخلد بن زيد. مخلد بن زيد, the correct thing is مخلد بن يزيد. We should correct our text. If in your own text you have مخلد بن زيد, it is مخلد بن يزيد. I think it's a typo error. It is مخلد بن يزيد أبو يحيى القرشي. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, Qala akhbarana Makhlad ibn Zayd, Qala akhbarana ibn Jurayj, Qala akhbarani Abu Zubayr, Annahu sami'a rajulan yas'alu Jabiran an khadimi al-rajul, Iza kafahu al-mashakka wal-harra, أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يدعوه قال نعم فإن كره أحدكم أن يطعم معه فليطعمه أكلة في يده قال حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال أخبرنا مخلد بن يزيد قال أخبرنا ابن جريج قال أخبرني أبو الزبير أنه سمع رجلا يسأل جابرا الخادم الرجل إذا كفاه المشقة والحر أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يدعوه قال نعم فإن كره أحدكم أن يطعم معه فليطعمه أكلة في يده. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from one of his biggest teachers, الإمام محمد بن سلام البيكندي, one of the first persons and one of the most eminent amongst those that الإمام البخاري رحمه الله has learned from was this Sheikh محمد بن سلام. He is محمد بن سلام البيكندي rahimahullah. He's also from amongst the scholars from Mawara al-Nahr, from the Transoxania. There is a land referred to as Mawara al-Nahri amongst the scholars of Islam. That Nahr is River Oxus, O-X-U-S, River Oxus. So the ulama referred to the areas after that river as Mawara al-Nahri, the cities behind the cities, the city behind the river, the sea. So, but in English, they are usually referred to as the scholars from the Transoxania, and the name of that river in reference is River Oxus. So Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, and many others have come from that area. So the ulama refer to them as ulama, ulama, wara, al-nahri, the scholars of the Transoxania. One of them was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Bikandi rahimahullah. He is reporting from his Shaykh Makhlad ibn Yazid Abu Yahya al-Qurashi. Makhlad ibn Yazid Abu Yahya al-Qurashi said, Akhbarana ibn Jurayj. Ibn Jurayj is a very learned person from amongst the scholars of Makkah and the history of Islam. And he is Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul Malik. He is Ibn Jurayj al-Makki. He said, Akhbarani Abu Zubayr. Al-Imam Abu Zubayr is Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Tadrus, rahimahullah. He is also a very learned scholar of hadith and one of the closest persons to the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And you would note that this hadith is one of those narrations that Abu Zubair al-Makki has reported from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Abu Zubair al-Makki is a major reporter from the companion Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. Abu Zubair said, سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَسْأَلُ جَابِرًا عَنْ خَادِمِ الرَّجُلِ. سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَسْأَلُ جَابِرًا عَنْ خَادِمِ الرَّجُلِ. Abu Zubayr al-Makki witnessed when and heard when a man came to ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari and Khadim al-Rajul about how the servant of a person, you have a servant, Khadim al-Rajul, regarding the servant of an individual. This word, Khadim, I like to mention two things about it. The first thing I like to mention about this is that Al-Khadim yutlaku ala al-Zakari wal-Unsa. Al-Kalimatu Khadim tutlaku ala al-Zakari wal-Unsa. The word Khadim, which literally refers to the servant, yutlaku ala al-Zakari wal-Unsa. It may be used to refer to a male or a female. So it may be the Gulam, a male slave or a male servant. It may also be the Jariya, the female servant. So the Gulam, the word Gulam, it can refer to a male, it can refer to the word Khadim. The word Khadim can refer to a male, it can refer to a female. Also, the word Khadim, it can refer to a slave, and a person who is not a slave, who only took up a job with you. He's not a slave, but he came to your house to clean the gardens. and you are going to pay him for that. Yakhdumuka. He is serving you. Just like that word, khawalukum. Khawal. The khawal are those who take care of our affairs, those who run our errands. Likewise, this word, khadim, from this angle. The khadim can be a slave. The khadim can also be a worker who works for you and serves you for a price. The difference between the slave and the other worker is that the slave is not paid, but the other worker is paid. So that word, khadim, the ulama explained that it involves both the person who is a slave. You can employ him to do your works and not pay him, of course, because you own him. And the person who is not a slave, the person you can employ to do your works and you still pay for doing those works, like the nannies, like the cook, like your PA, like your secretary, like your farmer, if you have a farm, and the likes of these, they are our khadam. They are our, each of them is our khadim. And it may be a slave and it may not be a slave, just like it can be a male, it can also be a female. So the question is general. Abu Zubair al-Makki was there when he heard a man asking Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari about the servant of a man. When the servant does what? إِذَا كَفَاهُ الْمَشَقَّةَ وَالْحَرَّةِ إِذَا كَفَاهُ. When the servant suffices the boss, your nanny suffices you, your gardener suffices you, كَفَاهُ الْمَشَقَّةَ. Your gardener suffices you, your cook suffices you, your slave suffices you of what? Al-mashaqqah, of the hardship. He takes care of the hardship. He bears the hardship in your care on behalf of you. Walharra. Likewise, your slave or your servant or your nanny or your cook, he bears the hardship of alharru. Alharru is heat. When your slave suffers hardship and heat, he goes to bring the food from the farm. He brings the food to your house, or he goes to the market. He buys all that you need. He brings the food to the house, carrying it either on his head or on his shoulders or wherever. He goes to procure all that you need. And then he brings it to the house and begins to cook it. He suffers from the heat. At the time they would bake bread by themselves. Bakeries, people had bakeries in their homes, mini bakeries, he would call it. So he will make the flour, he will make the dough, he can slaughter the ram, he can suffer all the mashaka, all the hardships that are connected to that. And then he will suffer from the heat of the fire. He will suffer from the heat of the oven while baking your bread, while cooking your soup. The gas cooker may burn her hand. The gas cooker may have accidents when he fries or when she fries for you. He suffers all of this. إِذَا كَفَاهُ الْمَشَقَّةَ وَالْحَرَّةَ. When your servant or your worker or your employee, كَفَاهُ الْمَشَقَّةَ, he suffices you of the hardship, وَالْحَرَّةَ, and the hotness of having to prepare your food. That person asked Jabir ibn Abdullah, how do we know it's about the food? Because a similar report regarding this occurs in Sahih Muslim, when Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah reported that waliya harrahu wa dukhanahu, that man suffices you of the hardship of preparing the food. He suffices you of the hardship of the heat in the kitchen. He suffices you of the hardship of Dukhan, the smoke of it. He bore the smoke. He took the smoke. He tolerated the smoke. He endured the smoke to be able to cook your food. That man asked Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Amara al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam an yadu'u. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam command the employer of labor to command the other person to come and eat food? That is, should the boss ask and invite his slave to eat with him? A man came to ask Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, if a man has a slave, وَكَفَاهُ الْمَشَقَّةَ وَالْحَرَّةَ, and that slave or servant or employed person who works for you, he is the one who suffers the hardship of preparing the meals. He suffered the hardship of the heat. He suffered the hardship, or she suffered the hardship of the smoke. هَلْ أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَدْعُوهُ, did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command this man who has the servant, who has the nanny, who has the cook? Is he commanded by the Prophet to also invite that servant to the table for food? He is asking Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Qala na'am. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded the man to do so. If your servant, your cook, your nanny, your house help, they go about running all around, perhaps in the rain sometimes, perhaps under the sun sometimes, and they cook the food, they bear the heat, they bear the smoke, and then they bring you the food. Is it lawful for you to tell them, come and eat with us? You join us in the meal. Is it lawful? Did the Prophet command you to tell him to come and eat with you? Are you under a command by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that man who has suffered that hardship, you were sitting on your couch watching a film, watching a documentary, writing your mails, sending your emails, perhaps you're on the job, you work online, or perhaps you're on the job, you are busy in the office, you are not at home, you've been away in the morning, and then someone bears the duty to prepare your meals. Should you command him, should you tell him to come and eat with you? Did the Prophet command that people should do that? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was asked this question, and he said, nah. That means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded us. And that statement of command occurs in Sahih Muslim from the report of Abu Huraira. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا وَضَعَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ خَادِمُهُ طَعَامَهُ إِذَا وَضَعَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ خَادِمُهُ طَعَامَهُ, when each of your servants, إِذَا وَضَعَ لَكَ طَعَامَكَ, when he serves your meal, when he serves your meal, وَقَدْ وَلِيَ حَرَّهُ وَدُخَانَهُ, after he had suffered and tolerated حَرَّهُ, the heat of preparing that meal, وَدُخَانَهُ, and the smoke of preparing that meal, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fal yuq'idhu ma'ahu. This is the command. Fal yuq'id ma'ahu. Any one of you who has a servant that suffers, that tolerates the smoke, the heat, and the trouble of getting the food ready. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fal yuq'idhu ma'ahu. Let him make him sit down with him, fal ya'kul, so that he too can partake from the meal. That man who suffered, that woman who suffered to prepare the meal, make her sit with you to eat the meal. So the question we have in this chapter is that, what if the man dislikes that this man should sit down to eat with him? In other statements, this command occurs in a lot of ahadith. It makes us understand that it was something the Prophet said regularly. It occurs in this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. It occurs in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and others amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In another report, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيَدْعُهُنَّ فَلْيَعْكُلْ مَعْهُ, فَلْيَدْعُهُنَّ, let him therefore invite those women, the women, the slaves, the servants, the nanny, the cook. Tell them, come and eat. Let them eat the food with you. It's not just you alone who should participate in the meal. So it says that the individual should do so. And then in the answer of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari in our own hadith here, it says, فَإِنْ كَرِهَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَطْعَمَ مَعَهُ. If any of you dislikes that, your slave, your servant, your nanny should eat with you. The ulama say, the point here is that قَدْ تَكُونُ الْكَرَاهَةُ means قَدْ لَا تَكُونُ الْكَرَاهَةُ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. قَدْ لَا تَكُونُ الْكَرَاهَةُ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. If you are disliking that your slave eats with you may not be out of arrogance. You are disliking that your servant should sit down with you on the table. It may not be out of fear. It may not be out of arrogance. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have said that if you dislike that he eats with you, if you are uncomfortable that he eats with you, he said alayhi salatu wa salam, فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ أُكْلَةً فِي يَدِهِ. You should serve him some of the plates. You should serve him some of the meat in his hands. Give him some from it. If you don't want him to sit down with you, then give him some from it. If you are uncomfortable that your servant should sit with you and eat that meal, and she was the person who suffered and went to the market. She bought all the fresh fish. She removed the scales. She boiled it. She cooked it. She grinded the pepper. She made the tomatoes and all of these. And then she bore the heat of the kitchen. Not just that. When there was smoke, she managed with the smoke. When they serve you the meal, just don't go on eating. Look on the other side. Invite them to eat with you. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said this itself is, if that meal is only sufficient for that serving, you are serving the boss. That is, if all of the meal is just what has been served. Otherwise, if it's a standard meal that will go around the house, the fact that the slave or the servant or the worker or the nanny will also have, or the cook will have their share of it already established, then you may not need to invite him to the meal. You might not need to invite that nanny to the meal if he or she already has her own share. She cooked it. She has a share already. But if all that is available of that meal is what has been served to you, perhaps you have visitors. And that's why it occurs in some of the expressions of this hadith that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَانَ الطُعَامُ مَشْفُوهًا قَلِيلًا إِنْ كَانَ الطُعَامُ مَشْفُوهًا قَلِيلًا. If the meal was small, if the meal was small and مَشْفُوهٌ, مَشْفُوهٌ means that the hands that will partake in it are already many. You went out, you came home with your friends. You have about six of you. And all of you want to partake in that meal. That is all from that meal that has been prepared. That is when you should pay particular attention to giving some of it to the one who has prepared the meal. Your nanny, your cook, your servant, your slave who cooked that food, who prepared the meal. If all that the meal has is what they have served you, try to get some of it to your slave. Get some of it to your cook. But if they already have a share, then you don't need to remove from your meal. If they don't have a share, the entirety of what is available is just what has been cooked, then try not to be sure that you do not eat the entirety of the meal. And those who bore the heat, who saw the meal, who struggled with preparing the food will have nothing to taste from the meal. Don't do that. Some of the ulama even say that it is compulsory. You don't make it such that the one who suffered to get the meal ready for you does not have any taste of it in any way. If they have a share of their own, then you don't have any issues at all. If they don't have a share of their own such that all that has been prepared for that meal is just all that has been served, and there are a lot of people that are going to partake in that meal, the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad salat is that you should invite that person to partake with you, because they are the one who suffered the hardship to get the meal ready. In fact, some of the scholars say that when you do that, you are also removing al-ayn from the food, because his mind or her mind will be connected to the nice meal that you are eating. The mind is connected to it. The eyes are connected to it. When you make her or make the cook or the nanny or the servant or the slave partake from the meal, you have cut off the evil effect of that ayn. If at all the food will be affected by the evil eye, you have cut off that effect. It's just like some of the cooks we employ now when we have walaims, when we have different kinds of walima. We want to make walima and we bring women from outside. Sometimes it is the time of Eid al-Kabir. We bring women from outside to work while we cook the food, while we prepare the meals, because we have a lot of people visiting us and the job may overpower our wives. We do it. We bring people, bring some women who will cook the food. When they cook the food, they have the pots burning their hands. They have sometimes oil burning their hands. They have a lot of things. So they bore that one. Then they bore the hardship of going to grind the pepper because it's large in quantity. They go to the market. They come. They bring oil, bring this, bring that. They bore all of that. If that is all the meal that is available that will be served, that they must partake from it. If the meal is such that they too have a share in it already, then you don't need to invite them to your table. But if they don't have a share in it, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in kana ta'amu mashfuhan qalila, if the food is mashfuh, the people who will gather around the food are many, and the food is small, such that all that is available is all that has been served. Make sure you take from it and give it to the person who cooked the food or to the one who prepared the food. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the fuller version of this hadith, he said alayhi salatu wa salam, إِذَا صَنَعَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ خَادِمُهُ طَعَامَهُ if any one of you, your slaves, prepares your food, ثُمَّ جَاءَهُ بِهِ and brings your food to you, وَقَدْ وَلِيَ حَرَّهُ وَدُخَانَهُ, he was the one who had suffered and tolerated and endured the heat and the smoke of preparing that food. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيُقْعِدْهُ مَعَهُ, let that person make that servant sit down with him, فَلْيَأْكُلْ, and eat the meal, partake in the meal with him. And we had said that this is in a situation where that servant does not have a share already. If they have a share already with them, it is not necessary or absolute obligation for the individual to bring that person to the table. If your slave cooks your food and he serves you, your servant, your subordinate, your cook, and you sit down together to eat together, this is the best. We had mentioned this repeatedly. We saw Salman al-Farisi doing that. We read about Abu Dharr al-Ghifari doing that. They eat together with their servants. They eat the same meal. This is the best of what we can do. Yourself and your nanny, you sit down to eat. Yourself and your servant, you sit down to eat. If you are so benevolent and kind and humble regarding your servant and your slave, and you don't have anything to fear doing that, then you should do that. That is the best. That is the most rewarding. However, if for whatever reason you are not doing that, then it is encouraged that when you eat your meal, you invite. The first one is by obligation. The second one is by encouragement. The servant must have a meal. They should eat from the type of what you eat. You can bring them on the table. You are eating together. This is very, 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 very encouraged. This is very, very encouraged. What is by obligation is that you give them their basic needs. that they have their basic need is an obligation. That you make them sit down together with you is an encouraged act. That they eat that same meal you are eating is most encouraged. What you eat is the same thing that they eat. But the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَرِهَا أَنْ يَتْعَمَ مَعَرُمُ. If the individual now feels uncomfortable to eat with the servant, then he should serve him from the bed. Don't forget, that is in a situation where all that has been served is all that is available. Then make sure that those persons who suffered the hardship of preparing the meal should have a part of the meal. If they already have a share, as I have repeatedly mentioned, if they already have a share, you don't have to bring them to your table. But if they don't have a share of their own, all that has been prepared is all that has been served, then it is encouraged you give them from part of what you are eating. You don't make them just long and crave for the nice meal that their mouth will not taste. Some of us will say, your eyes have seen it. Your mouth will not touch it. Their eyes can touch it too. Their eyes can touch it. Their eyes can afflict the food. Their eyes can afflict the food. Their eyes can afflict the food. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So when you give them, you satisfy that crave. You satisfy, even if it is small. That's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيُطْعِمُهُ أُكْلَةً فِي يَدِهِ. Let him serve him ukla, even if it's a morsel. The ukla is what you take at one time. Lukma, in the report in Sahih Muslim, it says, فَلْيُطْعِمُهُ لُكْمَةً أَوْ لُكْمَتَيْنِ. Let him give him one or two, meaning that some of it, let him give him some or two muscles. Give him one or two muscles. When we're younger than this, I remember that sometimes when elders ate and they found that children are also interested in partaking in the meal, they say, take from it. If you find someone interested in the meal, yes, make them partake in the meal. I remember one of the hajj that we performed. I had to go to the hospital with one of the pilgrims who was ill. We were coming into Medina, and that pilgrim became very ill. It was with one of the groups, I think, focal point in that year. One of the pilgrims became ill, and I had to come down to go to the hospital with him. So when we came, after he got his treatment, and we're returning to Medina, to the masjid, where our lodge was, we were picked up by an elderly man who started to discuss with us, how are you, where are you from? We know how those drivers discuss. And when he found out that we were pilgrims, he asked me for something. I beg you in Allah's name, the two of you, can you partake with me in a meal in my house? So I looked at the second brother. He said, yes, let's do so. So I said, okay, bismillah. If you are not worried, then we can go. So we went, we sat down. As we sat down and the meal started to be served, this man went to invite his children to the meal. One of the boys was the one who came first. I think the daddy noticed that the boy was interested in the meal. He went and invited that boy and the rest of the boys in the house to sit down with us to partake in the meal. So if you find that someone is interested in the meal, you can sit him down to partake in the meal. If he is someone you will not find comfortable to sit down with you, then you can give him some of it. You scoop some of it in a container and you give it to him to eat. So don't be a person who, when the servant suffers the entirety of preparing the meal, you say, well, you have just seen it. Your mouth will not taste from it. This is contradictory to the basic rules of humility and the basic rules of mutual goodness amongst the people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us to do so. If our slaves, servants, nannies, cooks prepare a meal, we should not do a win-win situation. Let them have a part of it, especially if that is all that is available. But if they have their shares already, there is no blame. That doesn't stop you from bringing them to eat on the table with you. That is the best thing. But if they already have their share, then you are not obliged. You don't have to bring them to the table to eat with you. Like I said, some of the scholars even say that if that is all you have, that you give them something from it or that you invite them to partake with you, it's a matter of obligation, but I think an Allah knows best. What is most correct is that it is an encouraged act, and it is something that is so emphasized that we should try to do. Don't eat it all. Don't eat it all. In fact, some of the scholars included people who served the meal. He was not the one who cooked it. He was not the one who prepared it. It was the one who served the meal. They say from the khidmah connected to the meal is that another person served it. So let's say someone else cooked it and another person served it. The one who served it too, he has gotten involved in the jobs connected to getting the food to your table. And a major point of lesson here, dear brothers, is that don't be a man who does not recognize the efforts of others. This hadith shows that Islam recognizes the efforts of ladies. It recognizes the efforts of cooks, and that they should be, for that effort, be given some kinds of reward connected to that. So if you're a person, I know someone who is so benevolent, if you serve him, he'll give you some. If he does not give you money, he will give you from the food. And people used to think that he was just benevolence. It's not just about benevolence. It has to do with humility, and it has to do with following what the sunnah teaches. These are from the things of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. When someone suffers and gets their meal to you at the table, you the boss, don't be careless about what that person eats. If all that has been served is all that is available, and you have a lot of people partaking in that meal with you, the least thing you can do is to provide him some of it. Otherwise, you can bring him to the table to eat along with you. This is the best thing. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to do that. So, إِذَا كَرِهَ أَنْ يَعْكُلَ مَعَ عَبْدِهِ, if the individual feels uncomfortable to eat with his servant, with his slave, with his nanny, with his cook, perhaps he is a male and she's a female. It's one reason he may be uncomfortable. This woman is my cook. I'm a male. How does she sit on the table with me? Then you can scoop some of it and give it to her. You can give it to her. So you, the umu, controlling the house, the woman, the wife of the boss in the house, don't feel too high that your cook sits down to eat with you. These narrations will make us understand that these things are not out of place. They are rather encouraged. Now, if you feel uncomfortable for whatever reason that this person eats with you, don't forget to scoop some of it for that person, especially if that is all that is available. But if there are shares already, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah, that they will eat from their shares, these matters will not have to come up anymore. I hope that this hadith is clear. The next hadith comes also under the next chapter heading. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, يُطْعِمُ الْعَبْدَ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ. We had read a hadith, I think that occurs under hadith 188, that the individual should provide the meal. From hadith also of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, in 199, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ مَسْلَمَةً قال حدثنا مروان بن معاوية عن الفضل بن مبشر قال سمعت جابر بن عبد الله يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا ويقول أطعموهم مما تأكلون وَأَلْبِسُوهُمْ مِنْ لَبُوسِكُمْ وَلَا تُعَذِّبُوا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Imam al-Bukhari reported this in 199 from a different sheikh. The sheikh from whom he reported it in hadith number 188 was Sa'id ibn Sulaiman Abu Uthman. He reported it from Sa'id ibn Sulaiman Abu Uthman. But here in 199, he reported it from Abdullah ibn Maslama. That is Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. Abu Abdurrahman, one of the students of Al-Imam Malik. the person who Al-Imam Malik was told about his arrival in Bakka. And Al-Imam Malik stood up to welcome him. Stood up to go and welcome Ibn Ka'nab al-Ka'nab. He was a well-known revered scholar, despite the fact that he was a student to Al-Imam Malik. He also has a report of Muwatta. He's from among those who wrote down Muwatta from Imam Malik. He came to learn from Al-Imam Malik. When Imam Malik heard that he had arrived, he stood up and invited the rest of the students, let us go and welcome Ibn Ka'nab, rahimahullah. That shows the level of the respect and the esteem Ibn Ka'nab had with the people of knowledge. And he's from amongst those who came in between Al-Imam Malik and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Malik. Normally, there should be about two persons in between them. But because of these kinds of people like Ibn Ka'nab, Al-Qa'nabi, and others like Hisham ibn Ammar, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, would report the narrations from Al-Imam Malik with just one intermediary, like in this. Ibn Ka'nab al-Qa'nabi was a direct student of Malik. So Bukhari used to report narrations from Malik through the likes of Ibn Ka'nab al-Qa'nabi, like also Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunisi and others. There were seven or eight of them who usually came between al-Bukhari and his reports from al-Imam Malik. The point here is that Ibn Ka'nab al-Qa'nabi, Abdullah ibn Maslama, is a student of Al-Imam Malik. Inshallah, we'll come back to his report subsequently. We'll talk more about Abdullah ibn Maslama. So here he says, Hadathana Marwan ibn Muawiyah, Anil Fadl ibn Mubashir. This isnad is the same with 188, except that here in 199, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Maslama. But in Hadith 188, he had reported it from Sa'id ibn Sulaiman, meaning that both Sa'id ibn Sulaiman and Abdullah ibn Maslama, the two of them had the Hadith from who? From Marwan ibn Muawiyah, Abu Abdullah al-Kufi. Marwan ibn Muawiyah, Abu Abdullah al-Kufi, and he's reporting from Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir, who said, Sami'tu Jabra ibn Abdullah yaqul, I heard Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari saying that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا ويقول. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا. He used to admonish the people to be nice to the Mamlukin. You see, khayran lil Mamlukin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always admonish the people to be good to their Mamlukin, to their slaves and their servants. Be nice to your slaves. Be nice to your servants. Be nice to your nannies. Be nice to your gate men. Be nice to your driver. Be nice to them. You see, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayran lil mamluki. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always command that good be directed to these people. Wa yaqul. And while saying that, he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, at'imuhum mimma ta'kulun. Provide them, feed them from what you eat. Wa albisuhum min labusikum. Provide them clothing from your own wares, the type of clothes you wear. Give them clothes. You wear clothes that cover you up. You wear clothes that are good. Give them. And we remember that some of the companions will even give them exactly the type of what they are wearing. Some companions say, exactly what I wear is what I will give my servants and my slaves. But if you are not giving them exactly what you wear, give them something like it. Give them something like it. So don't be the one, you are well dressed and your children or your slaves or your servants are usually shabby and dirty. For you, you think that that is the evidence that you are their boss and they are your subordinates. Some people think like this. When people around them are dirty and they are clean, fine, putting on nice caps and nice shoes, that is evidence that they are doing well. Some people think that they are, the time that they do well is when the people around them are shabby, when the people around them are hungry, when their subordinates are looking dirty. That means you, your guy, you are doing well. I think that is a misunderstanding of doing well. When you are doing well is when you do well and the people around you are doing well. You are doing well when you do well and the people around you are doing well. But if you think that you are doing well when the rest of you are not doing well, it is when your mates and colleagues and friends are not doing well that you are doing well. It's a mistake and it's a very wrong understanding. It does not make the individual have any sense of humility. So look at your subordinates, your drivers, your cooks. How are they doing? You must know what they are doing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only gave example with food and clothing, because those are the things we quickly notice with people. Otherwise, you must be careful and you must pay attention regarding their welfare, generally speaking. So he gave example, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Kan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see the matrukina khaira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will always encourage you to take care of your servants and your slaves, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he will say, At'imuhum mimma ta'kulun, provide them meals from what you eat. Wa'albisuhum min labusikum, provide them clothes from what you wear. Wala tu'adhibu khalqallah, do not punish the creatures of Allah. Some of the people have that likeness. They like to make their subordinates suffer. They like to make the subordinates suffer. They like to punish their subordinates. They like to make them feel life straightened for them. This is wrong. Don't punish the creatures of Allah who are working with you. We had explained this hadith, and we said that what this hadith means is that give them from the like of what you eat. If you are not giving them exactly what you eat, give them something sufficient for them to eat. But the best is that let them eat what you eat. And better than that is that let them sit on the dining table with you. The best is that yourself and your people serving you, you are eating together. How is that? You are eating the food together. They are taking the meal. You are giving your own. You are taking your own. Everybody is taking. This is the best. The one that follows that is that they are not sitting on the table with you. They have taken their own shares in the kitchen. The one that follows that is that they are not eating that type of food they cooked for you. They are just eating something lesser than that, but it's in the average of what suffices for food. And it's also, of course, nutritious for food. But what is bad and prohibited is that you are eating, enjoying nutritious meals, and you make them suffer. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala tu'adhibu khalqallah, do not punish the creatures of Allah. This is hadith number 199. We had read it in hadith number 188. What we have done regarding it is just a recap. It occurs under the chapter heading that yut'imul abda mimma ya'kulu, the individual should feed his servant from the like of what he eats. I think that is clear, isn't it? We go to hadith number 200. In it, al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana musaddadun, qala haddathana Yahya ibn Sa'id, an Ismail ibn Abi Khalid, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إذا جاء أحدكم خادمه بطعامه فليجلسه إذا جاء أحدكم خادمه بطعامه فليجلسه فإن لم يقبل فليناوله منه. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم in this hadith said, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمُهُمْ, if the slave of any of you, or don't forget, it is al-khadim, and this kalima khadim يَقْبَلُ التَّذْكِيرُ وَالتَّعْنِيثُ, it accepts being a masculine or a feminine word. You can use it regarding a male, you can use it regarding a female. And the word also al-khadim The khadim can be your slave or servant. It can also be someone you pay for a job whose services you have employed. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمُهُ بِطَعَامِهِ. If your khadim comes to you with your food, we had read it. He was the one who وَلِيَ الْمَشَقَّةِ. He endured the hardship, وَالْحَرَّ. He endured the heat, the hotness of the kitchen, وَدُخَانُهُ. He also, the دُخَان, وَلِيَ دُخَانَهُ. He also endured the smoke in the kitchen and he brought you food. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيُجْلِسُهُ. Make him sit down with you. Make him sit down with you. And we have explained that he has to sit down with you if that meal is all that is available. Otherwise, if they have their share, then the obligation is not there. If they have their share, it's not, he does not have to sit down with you. And if he's sitting down with you, you find it uncomfortable, then it becomes absolutely necessary for you to serve him from the meal, as we had read in the previous hadith. But when we read it first, it was about not liking them to sit down with you. Well, here it's about that you should give him the space to sit down with you when you eat your meal. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمُهُ بِتُعَالِ. When any of you has a slave, and your slave or servant brings your meal to you, فَلْيُجْلِسُ. Make that servant sit down to eat with you. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَقْبَلْ. The ulama say this is another thing the Prophet had mentioned. Sometimes it is the boss who feels uncomfortable. Sometimes it is the servant himself who will feel, I will sit down with Oga. I can't sit down with Oga. I can't sit down. I will now sit down with Oga and his friends. I can't. So they say this is from the aspects of higher shyness. The servant himself may be shy. Abu and Umu are eating. And with the children, everybody is on the dining. And then the Umu says to the nanny, who is perhaps an old woman, Mama, can you eat with us? And she say, I can't sit down there. I'll be shy. I will feel this. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَقْبَلْ. If the servant, the nanny, the cook is the one who does not accept to come and sit down with you because of shyness or any such reasons, فَلْيُنَاوِلْهُ مِنْهُ. Then, يُنَاوِلْهُ مِنْهُ. Let him provide him some of it. Let him serve him some of it. Don't forget, we repeatedly mentioned, this is regarding the issue if all that has been cooked is what? All that has been served. If all that has been cooked is all that has been served, then you should invite the cook to eat with you. If the cook is invited to eat with you, but the cook feels shy, how do I sit down in front of the visitors of my boss to eat? How do I sit down with my heart to eat with them? Let them eat. Or the cook is a male, and the people he has served them with the meal are females. He wouldn't like to come there. Or that they may dislike that he comes. So there may be a barrier. If this is the barrier, then you serve him the meal. You take some of the meal and take it to this person who had suffered the heat and the smoke and the hardship of preparing the meal. Bismillah, there is also a story here regarding this from Umar radiallahu anhu. I think we should quickly read that hadith. That occurs as hadith number 201. And it is the hadith of Abu Mulaika. Abu Mulaika is Abdullah ibn Ubaidullah ibn Abi Mulaika. That's hadith 201. It's a story regarding all of what we had read from Umar ibn al-Khattab. Ibn Abi Mulaika said, Qala Abu Mahzura. Abu Mahzura is the muazzin of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We remember the story of Abu Mahzura. Abu Mahzura was part of a group of young boys, about 10 or 11 of them. They were traveling when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Hunayn. These boys were from Makkah. And they used to hear the Muslims call the Adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They will be jesting. They will be making a jest. They will be joking with the Adhan. At that time, they were Mushrikun.
but they were little young boys. They just like the voice of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the Adhan. I have seen something like this before. Where we grew up, Christian boys used to know the Adhan. They would call the Adhan, and they are Christians. So in that time, or at that time, Abu Mahdura was one of them. There were 10 boys. They were joking and jesting with Adhan. So after the Adhan, they sat down, and each of them started calling the Adhan. Up until when Abu Mahdura, who was also with them, made the Adhan. When Abu Mahdura made the Adhan, the Prophet heard the Adhan, and he was interested in the voice of Abu Mahdura. The voice of Abu Mahdura was very, very beautiful and sonorous. The Prophet sent the companions, radiallahu anhu, alayhi salatu salam, go and search for those boys and bring them here. They searched for them, they gathered the 10 of them and brought them before the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he made them call the other one after the other. The one who called last was Abu Mahdura. The Prophet said, come here. He moved in front of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, he was a non-Muslim. And the Prophet touched his forehead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and prayed for him, oh Allah, bless him. Oh Allah, bless him. The boy accepted Islam. And he said he made him the muazzin of Masjidul Haram. Abu Mahdura was the muazzin of Makkah, Kaaba Masjid. He was the muazzin till he passed away. He used to call the Adhan there. He's the one who is reporting this hadith to us. And that's why he was the one who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me that the Adhan for Fajr is As-Salatu Khairu Minan Nawm should be added to it. The Adhan for Fajr should have As-Salatu Khairu Minan Nawm added to it. That's why some of the scholars say that As-Salatu Khairu Minan Nawm will come in the second Adhan of Fajr. Because that is the Adhan that is like the rest of the Adhan of the rest of the Salah that tells us that it is time for Salah. He only said that I should add As-Salatu Khairu Minan Nawm to the Adhan of Fajr, to the Adhan of Salatul Fajr. Meaning that the rest of the Adhans were Adhans that he used to call at that time. Because the Adhan is invalid if it is not at the time of that Salah. So As-Salatu Khairu Minan Nawm, he said he should add it to the Adhan of Salatul Fajr. We can, this is another issue. Altogether that the scholars have mentioned, I said we should add a salatu khairu minan nawm to the salat of the Adhan of Salatul Fajr. His name is Abu Mahdura. The hadith about issues of Adhan occur in Sunan al-Nasai. Abu Mahdura said, Kuntu jalisan inda Umar radiallahu anhu. I was sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu. If ja'a Safwan ibn Umayya. Then Safwan ibn Umayya came bi jafnatin يحملها نفر في في عباءة. Safwan ibn Umayyah was coming with a platter, a container. That container was a container of food. يحملها نفر. Someone was carrying it في عباءة in a cloth. The عباءة is the cloth you wear, like the agbada we have, like babariga we have. That is how the عباءة is. They will dress in a cloth under, and then they wear a bigger cloth on top of it. The bigger cloth is usually referred to as what? Aba'ah. So the person was carrying a platter of food in the Aba'ah. Fawadu'uha, these people placed that meal. Bayna yaday Umar. They began to drop those plates of food in front of Umar. Fada'a Umaru nasan masakin. The Umar went to invite masakin. He went to invite the poor people. Umar, radiallahu anhu, he was Amirul Mu'mini. When he was served me, he went to start bringing the poor people. Wa ariqa'a min ariqa'i nas hawlahu. And he started bringing ariqa'a. Ariqa'a is the jam of what? Raqiq. The raqiq are the slaves and the servants. The ariqa'a. Don't forget, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ariqa'ukum ikhwanukum. Your slaves are your brothers. So ariqa'u is the jam'u of what? Raqiq. So Umar radiallahu anhu, da'a Umaru nasan masakin. Umar invites some people who were poor. Wa ariqa'a min ariqa'i nas hawlahu. And he also started inviting ariqa'a, the servants of the people around him. You have a servant? And you are near Umar, he will bring your servants to eat with him. Umar, radiallahu anhu, fa'akalu ma'ahu. The people, these poor people, and the servants and the slaves, They began to eat with Umar radiallahu anhu. Summa qala inna dhalik. Then Umar said, radiallahu anhu, at that, fa'allallahu biqawmin. May Allah deal with the people. Umar said, radiallahu anhu, fa'allallahu biqawmin. May Allah deal with the people. Or that he said, lahallahu qawman. Lahallahu qawman. That is, qabbahallahu qawman. May Allah demean a group of people. Yargabun an ariqa'ihim. They avoid, they look down and put away ariqa'ihim, their servants and their slaves. They don't want to have anything to do with them. يرغبون عن أرقائهم أن يأكلوا معهم. They send away, they avoid, they put away, they discourage. They are too arrogant that their slaves or servants can eat with them. Omar said, رضي الله عنه, لح الله قوما يرغبون عن أرقائهم أن يأكلوا معهم. May Allah bring demean to the people who are too proud and arrogant to bring their servants to eat with them. Faqala Safwan. Safwan ibn Umayyah, who was there, said to Umar radiallahu anhu, Ama wallahi, listen, O Amir, by Allah, la narghabu anhum. Perhaps Umar radiallahu anhu noticed that some people are not happy to partake in that meal because he went to invite some of the poor people and some of the slaves to eat with them. Imagine that the President Buhari comes and a plate of food, a table of food was set, and he begins to say, oh, bring the poor people in, that this one is poor, this one is poor, this one is a servant, this one is a slave. All of you, come and eat with me. Some of the ministers will feel uncomfortable. And then the president, for example, begins to say, why are you uncomfortable? Why are you uncomfortable? By way of making them feel uncomfortable too, for feeling uncomfortable. Because some of the people they will consider poor were on the table with them. So when Umar radiallahu anhu said that, Safwan ibn Umayyah said, wallahi, by Allah, O Amir, ma narghabu anhum. It is not as if we dislike that, or we hate that our weak ones, our poor ones, should eat with us. وَلَكِنَّا نَسْتَأْثِرُ عَلَيْهِمْ. The issue is that we just prefer that we are able to eat something before we give them. It's not that we hate that they eat with us, or that they should eat at all. We just want to be sure that this meal is sufficient. That would mean that there were a lot of people, friends, relatives who are already willing to partake in that meal, and perhaps the meal will not go around, was the reason why they felt that the slaves or the weak ones should not partake in the meal with them. In the circumstance, they will now only have to serve them a small part of the meal, as we had read in that hadith. So Safwan ibn Umayyah said, Amirul Mu'mini, it is not as if we dislike that they eat with us. ولكننا نستأثر عليهم. What is rather the fact is that we prefer ourselves, we want to eat and then be able to give them. لا نجد والله من الطعام الطيب ما نأكل ونطعمهم. We will not even find from good food that we can eat and give them. The food we have that is good cannot suffice for all of us. So we want to eat from it and give them a part of it. We will not be able to eat all of us together. And let us not forget that we had mentioned previously that if the food is a food that will not go around, then in that case, we should just give them only a small part of the meal. So because now Omar invited them to the table when the food will not go around was the reason why those people were a bit uncomfortable that all those people should eat with them. But the action of Omar shows that there's a basic prohibition that don't hate, don't be proud to eat with your servants. Don't feel proud. That was why Umar was saying, Lahallahu Qawman. May Allah demean the people. It is arrogance. Those who hate to eat with their servants or their slaves or their nannies out of arrogance. These are the people that this statement of Omar radiallahu anhu is ascribed to. Bismillah, in our next class, we shall be discussing when a slave is helpful, is hardworking, is nice and good, what are his rewards before Allah? We had discussed the rewards of the servant who is under the boss and the boss is nice with him. What are the rewards of the boss? In this case, what are the rewards of the servant himself? It will be from the parts of the narrations that we'll be reading to end the chapter regarding our servants and our subordinates. I hope that these narrations are well taken. Bismillah. Abba Yusuf would have had a number of questions and the time is already far spent, but we can pick the questions as much as Allah permits within the time that we have. Bismillah.
Salawatu alaykum ya Shaykh.
Amin wa iyyakum.
Jazakum Allahu khairan.
Amin, amin wa iyyakum.
The first questioner says, since the Sharia discusses extensively on the right of servants, nanny, and cooks, this is an indication that having them is recognized in the Sharia. But why does our Sheikh Abu Nasir constantly discourages married women having any of these aids to ease their affairs in their home?
I am discouraging it because the Prophet too, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he discouraged his daughter, and any father will give the best advice to his daughter. When Ali ibn Abi Talib told Fatima radiallahu anha to go and ask for help, perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could give a slave or a servant to her to help her take care of her jobs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not agree with Fatima, despite the fact that she was actually suffering. She was actually facing the job. She had blisters on her hand that had become dried. The hand had become a very, very strong hand because of work. She would grind, she would carry matters, she would go to food. She didn't have a servant. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not have a daughter, did not have a servant. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached, her husband was the one who even told her, go and meet your father to help you. And when she came, the Prophet discouraged her and rather gave her a prayer that will make her be able to do the job very well. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to his own daughter, not just a companion, his daughter, said, don't look for a servant, do the work yourself. And that is the best man. There is no woman on the earth today that is better than Fatima. Just like there is no man today that is better than the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, Ana Sayyidu waladi Adam wala fakhr. I'm the head, the leader, the best of the children of Adam. And I am not saying it out of fakhru, out of any sort of gloating or pride. I am better than all of you. And he is Sayyidul Bashar, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the advice that he is giving to Sayyida, to Nisa al-Jannah. He's giving to the lady, chief lady of the women of al-Jannah, Fatima. Say, go back and do the work, despite the fact that the works were tough on her. So despite the fact that, oh woman, the job is tough on you, you find it hard, you find it difficult, I am the prophet to you. What the Prophet said to the daughter is what I would say to you. Don't go and look for nanny. Don't go and look for cook. Do the job yourself. This is the first reason why I tell you what the Prophet told his daughter, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing why I do that is that many of the men have fallen prey to being indecent with nannies. Some of those men may not at the beginning think that they will become indecent. But when the nanny cooks food, dresses your bed, you are looking at her doing that, and your wife is in the parlor sitting room. Men are created such that we like people who dress our bed and give us food. So if it is our wife that is dressing our bed and give us food, who do we love? We love him. The women will love their husbands. The husband will love the wife. If you cook his food, you dress his bed, you take care of his personal things that are personal to him. But when you leave that to the nanny, because he's a human being, if he becomes unable to control himself, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, you and I have heard a lot of things that are sufficient. I don't need to start saying it here. We have many men who have fallen prey to that evil. Many homes have been destroyed because of nanny and cook and the kind of indecency that finally goes up in the home. So that's why I say to avoid these kinds of evil, and the Sharia organized understands and approves what they refer to as sadd al-zari'ah. You do something that puts you away from falling into a problem. You do something that puts you away from falling into a problem. So when you do that, you are safe. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَمَنْ اِتَّقَ الشُّبْهَاتِ فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ سَيْنَ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَيْنَ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. Halal is clear, haram is clear. You go away from haram. Not just haram. If a thing can bring you to haram, you go away from it. So you keep your deen safe. لِسْتِبْرَأِ الدِّينِ وَالْعِرْضِ. You keep your deen safe. You keep your irt safe. So you are a clean man. You don't have anything inside your household that you are scared of. I is a decent person. He has no woman other than his wife under his roof. So this is best for you. This is best for all of us. It is best for the woman too. Because when she faces that job, she seeks a means to paradise. That the woman is working for her husband, caring for the home, cooking and all of these. They are from the means of the ways of paradise. So that was why the Prophet insisted, alayhi salatu wasalam, that his own daughter should continue. In fact, he gave her a prayer that will make it easy for her to continue. She will walk and become tired through the day. He said, do this one. Allah will restore your energy to you. As if to say, you will reload and be able to go back to that job the following day. If this is the advice of the Prophet to his beloved daughter, and the Prophet likes Fatima, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, I love Fatima. And whatever hurts Fatima hurts me. Yet he will tell her, go back to that job. It means that is the best thing that any woman can do. It is better for a woman not to have a nanny, not to have a cook. And she's the one being the nanny of her daughters. She's the one being the cook of her daughters. It is best. It's the best thing you can do for yourself as a woman. And you'll be protecting yourself from exposing your husband to danger. May Allah protect each and every one of us. You'll also protect yourself, O woman, from laziness. Many of the women are lazy today. Some women have become obese, and diabetes is pursuing them because of laziness. In fact, you have women who are so lazy that they can't even carry their own handbags. People have to help them carry their handbags. They are lazy. They can't wash hijab, ordinary hijab. Some women cannot wash because they become very lazy. They start looking for slaves and nannies and servants to work for them. My Mr. Madam, do the work yourself and earn your rewards. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan ya Sheikh.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
In regards to the
question here about Yusuf, let me quickly address it. Someone said she heard that Fatima later got a slave. Isn't that true? You should bring the hadith where Fatima got a slave. I don't know that hadith. We don't know the hadith. Then the woman said to Aisha had a slave. How do we reconcile that? If Aisha had a slave, you don't have a slave. It's not as if we are saying that it is wrong to have a slave. Please understand it. Put everything in its place. We have been talking about slaves, 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 servants, servants, servants. Men had, women had. We are not saying that it is wrong. But it is better for you not to bring a nanny. The nanny is not your slave. The slave is like a property, like Naira and Kobo. It is different in this aspect from a servant. A servant, you employ that person to do your work. A slave is part of something you, people even inherited. There are some of the women who inherited those slaves. In fact, some people give them, they give people slave like a gift. This is different. So someone gives you a slave as a gift. You have it. It is your slave, like a gift, like a car, like money. This is one thing. But to now go and employ one nanny to be cooking for you is another thing. You go to employ and you'll be paying for that service because you don't want to do the job. So if Aisha had a slave, it's not entirely evidence that you should have a nanny. It could have been given to her as a gift. she could have bought the slave. And these women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go back and read about their life. They used to walk inside the house of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. The wives of the Prophet used to walk. So if his wives were not walking, and he made them to have slaves alayhi salatu wasallam, if this is the case, but he said, my own daughter, don't take a slave. Which one do you think is better? You know, if someone wants to find an excuse, by all means, we are not saying that don't have a slave, don't have nanny, don't have cook. We have repeatedly said you can have a slave, you can have a nanny, but you are sharing the deeds of your aljanna with nannies and cooks. You have 10 things to do to get to aljanna. You give 8 to nanny, you are doing 2. Don't you know that if you are not careful, the scale of good deeds will be very light? You have 8 things, for example, to do to get 10 things to do to get to aljanna. In the house, because this is the job of the woman, it's like the man's going out to seek for feeding the home. It's your sadaqah. You leave all the sadaqah to the nanny to do. You sit down watching TV. These days, you sit down browsing on Facebook and pressing WhatsApp, reading all WhatsApp, going from one social media platform to the other. This is the reason why you cannot face your job at home. And then you are asking why Aisha has it. I think the question, we should not find a means of getting out of what we should do. The people who are, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. Make good efforts regarding something that brings benefit to you. Wala ta'ajaz. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Work at home, O woman. Work. Do your work. Cook your food. Take care of your children. In fact, the most serious women do this. Most serious women take care of their own children themselves. The most serious women cook their own food for their husbands themselves. The most serious women take care of their rooms, the rooms of their husbands themselves. They take care of the beds. In fact, some women will tell you, I cannot allow a woman to touch my husband's bed. These are women who know what it takes to have a husband. But when you push the needs of your husband to your nanny, which one will you do to enter Al-Janna? Because Aisha had a slave. Allahu Akbar. I mean, the women should work. They should work at home. If we say women should sit at home and not be going to office and return to office, this is what we encourage too. In the home, you have a lot of things to do. Work, 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 work at home. You are working your aljanna. As we said, men in the last class, we said men should know that they are doing all they are doing. Spending on the family, they should have an intention that they are doing it for the sake of Allah and that they want to earn His rewards. The same thing, the women should work at home, having it in mind that they are seeking their jannah from it. Women, work, work at home. Allahu Alam. Naam Aba Yusuf.
In regards to the caterers, that we employ during parties, despite them being paid in regards to the agreed contracts, if the food isn't enough and decide not to share with them in order for the guests to have enough, have I transgressed?
Abba Yusuf, it was cutting off. I did not hear the question. Just ask the question.
Okay, he says, if I did not give the caterers food because I've paid them, have I transgressed?
You have not transgressed. And if their eyes affect your food too, and your food begins to cause problems in the stomach of the people who ate it, they might not have transgressed too. Abba Yusuf. If giving them the food to eat from me, that is the best thing. The question is, has she transgressed? No, she has not transgressed. If she pays them for the job and does not give them from the food, she has not transgressed. But if you give them the food, you have done something better. You have been nice to them. From the ways to be nice to them is that you give them the food. Why? They suffered for the food. They suffered for the food aside your money. They physically suffered for the food. So if you give them, it's better. Don't forget, like the Ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah, they have eyes. Their eyes have gone into that meal. If you don't give them the food, they can curse you. So you close all these doors. What does it take if a person cooks a half bag of a rice and you give him one plate of rice? How much does it take? In fact, it may be an indication of some sort of a stinginess on your part. And next year, when you invite them, they don't come to your house. Can you do the job alone? They say that woman is stingy. And it is actually from some aspects of stinginess, truly. So give them the money, give them some food, even if it be a plate. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look matan, even if it is one single muscle, once. Uklatan or uklatan, once they can put in their mouth one time or two times. It's sufficient. So don't say because you give them the money, then that's all. No, even one single time, cut a towel. Let them just put it in their mouth and see how that rice they had suffered to cook can be. Don't be stingy. Give it to them. One, you will earn rewards. Two, you will protect yourself against evil eye. Three, you will protect yourself against being labeled to be a stingy person. Allahu Allah. I think that's clear by Yusuf.
What is meant by Khadimul Quran?
Khadimul Quran? I don't know what the person means, but literally, Khadimul Quran means someone who serves the Quran. He's serving the Quran. Maybe they want to say the person reads the Quran a lot and encourages the reading and teaching of Quran. So that would mean that the person serves the Quran. Maybe the person reads the Quran a lot, or the person teaches the Quran a lot, teaches tafsir, teaches tajweed, and all of these sciences that are connected to the Quran. Maybe this is what they mean. And I know only one person, that is a man in Kano, who is mentioned, when you mention his name, they say he is Khadim al-Quran. I'd met him once, and he said in that gathering, I was there, he had over 50 children, and all his children have memorized the Quran. I heard it from him. I heard the one who is called Khadim al-Quran. It was in a program. There were some of the brothers there too, in his house. So he is referred to by that. He has a land and he wrote it there in Kano, Khadim al-Quran. But this name itself, I don't know any of the scholars who is so referred to. I don't know the person who has asked the question thought to me more than that. But I think literally, Khadim al-Quran refers to the one who pays attention to the Quran. Allahu a'lam. Ameen wa antum fa jazakum Allahu khairan. Can we stop here, by Yusuf? Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The question here I'd like to address. Please assist on this. How do we balance women working at home and filling the role of having Muslim women in hospitals and schools for a Muslim? This question is just coming, and I'm sure the person asking the question already knows the answer. A woman is a medical doctor. She is attending two women. This is a necessity. It may even be a compulsory for her to go. A woman is a teacher. She's teaching in a single female school. It may even be compulsory for her to have to take up the job. A woman is a nurse. She has to attend to sick people. A woman is a pharmacy. There's a pharmaceutical company. Or there's a company, there's a pharmacy shop where Muslim women go to attend for their needs and all of these. All of these may even come under compulsoriness. When we make statements that women should stay at home, we know what we are talking about. Let's not be mixing them up as if we are generalizing. The person asking knows that we are not talking about these things that she has asked about. So what we say is that, how about the woman who is a businesswoman, running all around the streets, carrying all around bag and shoe, moving all around? She does not fall in this category, and this is the large majority. The large majority of the women form who go out, leave their homes, and leave their children to nannies, to cooks, and all of these. The large majority of the women fall in this category. They are not in the women you refer to as essential service women. They are not. The large majority of the women who abandon their home, abandon their children, abandon their husbands, they don't come under the women with essential needs. They are not there. So when we talk about these things, we are talking about the generality of the women, the large majority of the women. There are people who just leave their homes, leave their husbands, they leave their children. They leave themselves, in fact, because many of them become so ignorant about the religion. Many women don't know about Islam. They abandon themselves, they abandon their worship, they abandon their children, they abandon their homes, they abandon everything. Women, children come back from home and they can't find a mother to help them coordinate their assignments. The women have abandoned the homes, running all around just because of bags and shoes and all of this. Go back to the home. And if you're an essential service woman, your service, as soon as you finish your service outside, go back home. I think these things are usually cleared. When these kinds of questions come, we just want to ask them. Otherwise, we know what they mean. We know what we mean when we talk about these issues. Allahu alam, women, go back to the house and walk at home. Walk at home. Walk, women. May Allah reward all your efforts and make you from the people of Al-Jannah. I think we should stop here, Aba Yusuf. Amin wa iyakum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm not going to be able to do that.